2 of Overdrive on TSN 1050, TSN 4, and streaming on the TSN app. Mark Rowe in for Brian Hayes this week alongside Jamie McLennan and Jeff O'Neill. Oh, he's in a great mood. He had a great round of golf. He probably went under par. He's
no, gonna have a little... over today.
Whatever.
Two over, that's pretty good.
I'd take it.
Yeah, not bad today.
How are the shoulders feeling?
Very, very good, buddy.
Good. That was a concern earlier this summer or spring.
Let's just say that's been taken care of.
Oh.
You know what I mean.
Oh.
Oh, the cortisone shots. I like it.
Just therapy and bands and stuff.
They're not illegal, are they?
No.
Hey, I just watched that Lance Armstrong documentary earlier this week, so my mind is kind of going in one path, but it's all right. You don't get tested anymore.
Dude, it's not steroids, you idiot.
I just did
therapy, like bands and stretching, so I'm all good.
Okay, you're feeling good. The glutes are firing.
Try to sewer me again, and we'll have a chat. It's four times in the last 2 days.
How did I sewer you?
What, did you have a chat with Hayes on how to sewer? And...
No, I would never sewer you. You're my number one fan, so there's no reason to sewer you. So
maybe not today.
Okay, well, we are looking forward to your segment. We're debuting it today, Hazy B. Or Hazy B, quiet.
Yes.
Be bunch silent.
Of hot takes from Brian Hayes.
Okay. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to Andre Roberts at 6:05 from the Buffalo Bills, the probably the favorites in the AFC East, and Bob McKenzie at 6:25 as we hope to get more information from the NHL regarding their postseason and their resumption of the season, unlike the NBA, who gave us a ton of dates today. And we're ready to go.
Fired up about it, but I still think like 2 weeks from now we're going to have a lot more with the National Hockey League, and it's going to be worth the wait. We just need to figure out where the city is, or they need to figure out where the city is, and then they're going to get it sorted out. I think they're going to be exactly aligned with the NBA. It wouldn't shock me if those dates were
play July 30th or August 1st.
No, I think August 1st. That's Saturday. I don't know. For some reason in my mind, I'm like, Saturday, August 1st, you're going to be watching hockey.
You're going to be watching Toronto versus Columbus.
And ultimately, if it's what is the NBA, 31st?
Yeah, they're the Friday night.
So it's like, if it's one day later, I guess I shouldn't really complain that much. But I guess I just like seeing stuff in front of me.
Yeah, you want it right now. No, as you pointed out, like it's nice to see a chain of events. Who knows if they can actually hold to every single date, because the world is changing by the minute, as we know. But, you know, it's interesting to hear that they have the plan for next season as well. And that is something that will come from the NHL eventually. But
we have to ask Duffy, talking about the NHL, like what happened in Ottawa, like, how come the Ottawa Senator Sens Foundation is not with the Ottawa Senators anymore? I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't
know. Are they
know.
Just the Sens Foundation without the Senator? I don't know. It's just...
Well, charities work together. Sounds like they were together for 22 years, so I don't know what went south. And I know, obviously, I saw Eugene
Melnick's...
Well, I saw his name trending on Twitter, but I mean... Wow. I don't know if that was a business thing. I don't know. Again, I'm not privy to any of the Senators' information behind the scenes. It seems weird. Like the timing of it is very unique.
To be fair, if the Senators cancel their practice, Eugene Melnick is trending on Twitter. So,
right.
Who knows?
Yeah, that's the truth. But honestly, too, there may have been a date to renew and both sides couldn't work out a deal. Mm-hmm. It sounds to me like if there was a date of June 30th or July 31st for renewing something, renewing the deal, and they couldn't sort it out, then you got to part ways. But you know, you've been with somebody or an organization that long, you would hope that they would find some common ground. But I'm not privy to the behind the scenes information, put it that way.
Well, they're officially in their off season now. Like they know they're not coming back. They're getting set for a huge draft for them.
And guys, I was just thinking about it, like in the break. You know, we're all talking about, you know, the National Hockey League and 24 teams coming back. Well, there's seven teams that aren't going to play. There's seven teams that have UFAs, guys near the end of the career. Their careers are over. That's it. Like, their careers just ended on March 11th, March 12th. Like, March 11th, I guess, was the last set of games. So, you could look at all of those rosters and there's some pending unrestricted free agent guys who you thought, well, maybe if they ended up, you know, showing well in those last 10, 12 games or doing something to get a shot somewhere else or whatever. Like now you're out of sight, out of mind, because if the league doesn't start, let's say all the way till January, you're looking at, you know, 8, 10 months, you know, 10 months of, you know, 8 to 10 months of not playing hockey. And you're 35 plus.
That must be a killer at that stage of your career.
Yesterday
like
I was saying,
taking a year off, man.
It is. It's taking a year off. It's doing, you know, and especially, like, I don't think there's anybody at the pro sports level that can afford to take a year off right now that's not injury related. Mm-hmm. Like your career isn't that long. Like, yeah, you're lucky if somebody makes it to 20 years. Some guys last 5 years or 2 or 3 years, and in the middle there's 10. But, you know, one full year off, man, like, oh, you and I, we missed a full season, right? Were you in on that one? Yeah. Uh-huh. We missed a full season of our career. We'll mm-hmm. never get that back. Whether I was supposed to play 10 games, 15 games, 20 games, it's not even the games played. It's just that year of our career is just
right.
gone.
In your and, prime.
Yeah. You know, whether you're in your prime or, yeah, you're right. Like, it just, it's gone. It's not even the financial component. It's actually like the games and young kids, their development, guys in their wheelhouse. Like, that's, you know, could you imagine if the National Hockey League wasn't planning on coming back? You know, Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews, like, they're getting to the primes of their career. They're not there yet, or I think they're close to it. And, you know, it's just they didn't get to play for something. Yeah. At least they get to play for something right now.
And the big thing on the NBA side of things is with today's news, it means not that we are all holding out hope, but the Hawks won't be a part of the rest of the season, which means Vince Carter, unless he decides to come back, but all signs point to him retiring.
Right. He's 42 years old, man. Come on. My age.
I know. But I've said that for the last 5 years, as is everyone else.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry, Vince. Great career, but that's old news, man. He's been threatening to retire for 5 years. It's like, have a good
time.
And
he hit that shot in that last game. Like, just,
who cares?
You're gone.
Who cares?
Threatening. Like, it's not like I laugh at you.
I don't know. I might come back. I might not. Nobody cares. You're on a garbage team and you're not relevant anymore. It's just like, stop it.
I kind of like him.
If someone wants to give you,
I know,
a few
but it's just if he was 32 or something like Barry Sanders, great. Then there might be some kind of whatever. But it's just like, dude, you're old. So stop it.
Okay. Well, someone who is never retiring is joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, fresh off of winning yet another Canada Screen Award for Best Sports Host last week. The one, the only, James Duthie on Overdrive. How are
didn't
you, James?
Didn't deserve it. Didn't deserve that one. You didn't do anything funny. I mean, you had no games. You had no llamas. You had nothing, and you still won it.
It's one thing, you know, to think that as a colleague and a friend, which I think we are. It's another thing to tweet that right after it's announced. Didn't deserve it.
Mark Rowe.
Not
for the
worthy.
Didn't deserve it. Mark Rowe for U.S. Open deserved it.
I didn't even get nominated.
That's not wrong.
I didn't get
He's
nominated.
Not wrong.
It's okay.
He's not
Appreciate
wrong.
It. What's going on? How are you, James?
I'm in the middle of mayhem, and I apologize. I'm a couple minutes late because I was trying to clean the house, and the vacuum thing worked. So I called the vacuum guy. I didn't even know if he could come over. He can come over, but, you know, he can't come in the house. And
what vacuum
he keeps, like,
guy?
Knocking on my
a
window.
Vacuum repair guy?
Yeah, the vacuum repair guy's here.
And who's that? I'd have never heard of that.
Oh, I've had one over, too. Like, you've
for,
got a central
for
vac,
central
right?
vac.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, the rich guy thing.
What, you all of a sudden you got
central
a,
vac is a rich
yeah,
guy.
Yeah. Do you have an okay. Electrolux that we're not seeing
no,
in the background?
Me and D-Row have a plug-in one, old school. Sorry about that. Sorry that offends you.
I guarantee you D-Row does not have that. Do you have a plug-in
you have central
vacuum?
Vac?
I have never had central vac.
Thank you.
Until now, in my new house.
There you go.
Sorry, I'm the only pigeon in this group that has a plug-in vacuum.
Yeah, well, I moved to the suburbs. I think every house and in the suburbs has...
So let me get this straight before we get back to JD. You've got a plug-in vacuum, and who changes the filter on it? Or is it just...
I
like
got a
I
new one. It's called Abyssal. It's one of those ones. It's,
oh, so you got a high-end one.
It vacuums and it shampoos and stuff at the same time. It's real. I'll
yeah,
tell
it's
you
a $1,200 vacuum.
you ever look at the garbage that goes into that thing when it's done, you'd throw up. You'd think, I walk on that floor. It's gross.
Okay.
Gross. Anyway, James, let's get to the real hard-hitting stuff. What the hell happened in Ottawa with the Sens Foundation and the Sens? Like, is it just one of those things where it's like, why these guys? Or do they put it on themselves? Like, just why the Sens?
Why the Sens is a catchphrase or a hashtag on Twitter that could run for the last 7 years, though. I don't know. I don't have any inside information on exactly what went wrong there. But I would say, look, at there's a couple things in common of what's gone on there the last few years is that people have trouble working with the owner. Yeah. And whether it's the guy he hires to run the show, and they've gone through about three or four of them now, or a situation like this. And I don't know. Again, maybe that's not what the situation is. And apparently they have a few months to work things out before this officially ends in July. So maybe it's some, I don't know. It doesn't seem, it seems weird for a foundation to do some negotiating or whatever. But I just, that is a city that has so much going right now. Good for it. The Senators organization, as far as they have a really good chance to get Lafreniere, even if they don't get Lafreniere, they're going to have the second and fourth or third and fourth or first and fifth pick or whatever it may be. And they have a lot of talent in that organization. And just another one of these off-ice things that whatever the issue is, raises questions and raises concerns and is just troublesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the timing is no good either. It's just like, really, now this comes out like amidst all of the... Just everything. Just the PR timing of that is garbage.
It's not like I study these things, but a lot of teams have foundations, and you don't often see separations between foundations and teams.
No.
And when this is a 22-year relationship, I think it was, in the race. So something's amiss there.
Well, I definitely did not think the Sens would be a topic today, considering that we're moving forward with the season at some point this summer, James, and the Sens are focused on the draft. 24 teams, the play-in round, then you have the playoffs, the two hub cities. Is this kind of the best scenario out of what is a really troubling time right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. The best of sevens, we talked about this on the quiz with O-Dog, I think, last week. And I'm really torn on this because I don't believe there's going to be an asterisk beside who wins the Stanley Cup. I think that it feels really weird. It's going to be weird to watch. But the battle, even if it was best of fives in the first two rounds or three rounds, is going to be such that when the Stanley Cup champion is crowned, it'll be a worthy Stanley Cup champion if we get there. But so the best of seven format's ideal in the sense that, okay, it's the same playoffs, and anybody who wants to argue asterisk cannot argue it nearly as much. But there's part of me that says, you know, get this thing done. Pooley played in the best of five age, and I don't think there would have been a real problem with best of fives in the first two rounds. To stretch this out for another 10-12 days, I don't know, it gets a little bit dicey. You increase your risk of something going wrong. So, and we're still not there yet, right? And I watch the protests in the States and all across the world, and I wonder, does this have implications on what hub cities are chosen? If there's an extra spike in the next couple of weeks because of all the protests, what are the implications on hockey? So we still have many steps to actually get there before we can get to these best of sevens.
Yeah, that's the concerning part for me, guys, is the NHL, we've been not arguing about it, but just wants concrete dates, and I completely understand and respect that.
I just love what the NBA did, Jamie. Yeah. It was like, boom, 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 boom. This is what's going on. This is when it's done. This is the draft. It was cool information if you're an NBA fan.
And you're not wrong. Like, that's the thing. You're not wrong with your opinion because we all want that. But it's the National Hockey League has got to find cities that can house 24 teams and rinks and everything. So they're in a unique situation. And now you're dealing with the border, quarantine, and two different cities, not just one. And now the riots and protesting and the unrest in the U.S. right now. Like, I'm sure if they said, okay, let's flip a coin. Like, let's get to Canada while we've got a quarantine. We can't make that work. Okay, let's go to Vegas and Columbus. Well, there's some unrest there. Like, you know, to me, the, everywhere they turn, it seems like there's a lot of obstacles. I still believe they'll get it done, but it's almost like they're trying to fast forward a couple weeks to see, you know, what situation stabilizes first, whether it's the protesting or COVID, or they seem to be, there might be an overlap, like you said, James, where if the numbers spike because people have been out protesting and not social distancing.
Well, and what you say there is really interesting because I, you know, you sort of read between the lines with what Bill Daley and Gary Bettman were saying last week, and
right.
That for in some provinces, it felt like it was going to be really difficult to negotiate something other than a 14-day mandatory quarantine for players coming in, because that's a political hot potato to deal with, that preferential treatment and such. And I'm sure there's still conversations going on behind the scenes, but in some provinces, according to the premiers, it was essentially a non-starter for that to happen. So maybe the NHL's thinking in their heads, okay, we're going to have to go two cities south of the border because it's just too complicated in Canada to get a city there. And then this happens, and you have to wonder again, are they saying, okay, maybe Canada is our best option, just because we have no idea at this point in time how long the unrest will go on in the States. And even though there's protests in Canada, and look, most of the protests are peaceful south of the border and north of the border, but it's a little calmer up here. I think we'd all agree, correct?
Yeah,
right.
On the topic of the protesting, we were just talking about Drew Brees before you came on. And before today, I would have described Drew Brees as one of the best quarterbacks who's ever played the game, and also one of the most liked athletes in the world today, and that has quickly changed. I don't know about you. I can't think of another time where teammates were so critical of someone on their own team. And I know he apologized, and they have accepted that apology, but this definitely feels different than previous times where there was an attempt for social activism, whether it was in the NFL or another league.
James, if you were sitting down with him and did a one-on-one, what do you think the first question would – what would you ask the first thing today?
I have to give that some thought. I'm doing my Justin Trudeau 21-second pause here.
That's good. You're ready for the office, buddy.
I guess – but you know what? For me, like, I guess why would he even – not understand the landscape. Like, that's the
crazy
part.
Well, that's why I want to ask James. Like, he does all these kind of interviews.
Well, and here's the problem. When you have the apology, like, first of all, he makes the statement. And then there's some blowback. And then I believe he made sort of another statement backing up what he had said. And then the blowback gets bigger and bigger. And then he apologizes the next day. And I've always, you know, the apology, I kind of take it with the same thing when there's apology when somebody gets caught using steroids or sort of drugs, right? You're really only apologizing because you got caught, or you're only apologizing because there's a blowback. And I don't want to get into the whole political with Brees. You know, he's a Trump supporter, I believe. I just think it was incredibly tone deaf. But then when you say tone deaf to make a statement like that, then you say, okay, but if that's what he believes, that's what he believes. So am I asking him to have made something, to said something that he didn't believe in? That's where this gets so complicated, and there's so many layers. And again, it's difficult for us to say. I've read a lot of the teammates' reactions, and I think those things are fair. And I watched Malcolm Jenkins' long thing last night, and I thought it was incredibly eloquent. Look, here's a guy who he has these beliefs. He's obviously done some good. He's worked in the black community. He's done a ton of charity work. But, you know, I can understand the teammates' perspective that if you don't stand with us at this point in time, at this point in our history, then, you know, when are you ever with us? And I think you're right. When Kaepernick took the knee, and there was, every weekend we watched and we would see who would take the knee and what other protests there would be. And you could tell there was some divisiveness within certain teams, right? There would be a couple of guys, most times, sometimes they'd be arm in arm with the guys kneeling. Sometimes there was a bit of contention between teammates. Excuse me. But nothing like this. Mm-hmm. Like, this is real guys saying, okay, I don't believe in this guy anymore. And that's going to be something when it comes to training camp.
Joined by host of TSN Hockey, James Duffy. And you know, the argument can be made and has been shown that the responsibility of a professional athlete has changed over the years, James. And the topic of race in hockey came up earlier this year. You recently had a conversation with Hakeem Aliyu and Evander Kane in light of what has happened in America and you know, following the death of George Floyd. What did you take away from that conversation with those two players?
First of all, you know, I feel sheepish. I think, like everybody else, that more wasn't made. Like, we've had these individual incidents over time, when from Trevor Daley in junior, from Hakeem when he was back in junior, and even when Hakeem came out in November and made these statements, and it becomes, it's kind of the way the media is today, the world is today, where we have these quick news cycles, and it becomes a story, but then it just disappears, and there's no real change. And in my conversations with Hakeem, certainly, and Evander's been saying this for a couple of years as well, I think that's the frustrating thing to them, and you have to do a little looking in the mirror and say, man, is that what we are as a society, where guys make a, you know, major, try to make changes, and it's a two-day story, and then it ends, and then they're saying, why does it take something like this to actually make change? Everybody says the right thing when Evander Kane comes out, or Hakeem comes out with his story, and maybe a coach gets fired, but it all kinds of fades away. And what I took away from it is just their real frustration. And they almost seemed tired when I spoke to them, actually. They've been doing a lot of interviews, but tired of talking about this and seeing it just dissipate, and being hopeful that maybe this time is different. It feels different this time. The prolonged protest, the fact that we're into a week now, it feels different, but I know there's part of me that still thinks that, you know, eventually it'll end, and with the government in the States, will anything really change? I don't know. But I think those guys, the one thing I would say to people, I know there's a lot of controversy. I see it when we tweet out these interviews, there's negativity. Sometimes there's racism. All I would say to people is, listen, you don't have to agree. You don't have to. I know, you know, Hakeem feels he would have had a career in the National Hockey League. I don't know that. You don't know that. None of us know that. But that's not his only point. He's not just bitter because he didn't have a career. He's trying to make change. So even if you don't necessarily think you agree with a guy, like, sit and listen to them for 15 minutes. I think we owe people that. And that's what really bothers me, is the people that just dismiss these things without even listening to them. And I see that. Twitter can be an evil place in times like this. So you don't want to often listen to the mentions. But that's the part of society. Have an argument, have a discussion, but don't just dismiss it.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, you read Bob's essay on TSN.ca this week. That was a big theme. I know Noodles and O, when we've talked about it, they've talked so much about listening from their perspective and just educating yourself. So
none of the four of us can understand.
No.
And so it's our obligation to try and understand and to listen to people that have those stories.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yeah. And to, you know, James, I thought the you know, the most interesting and bang on mention that you just said was that the news cycle flushes things out, so we quickly pivot to something else. This can't be something that flushes out. If anything, you know, it has to be a constant in our society, in our mental makeup moving forward. And, you know, even when there are other stories, you can't let it get pushed to the side. And I think, you know, we are, as a society, I think we are going to try. I'm hoping. Maybe that's just the hope in me. But, you know, ultimately, we'll see. The proof will be in the, you know, in the pudding moving forward. And believe me, I think there's a lot of growing for everyone to do.
You know, that's the one thing that really can bother me about social media. And I think it's a real positive. And, you know, Evander and Hakeem, and they were really happy. All the players that have made statements, from, you know, Jonathan Toews and Logan Couture and McDavid and Crosby, and I'm missing a million. There's been so many players that have come out and said things over the last week or so. And that's great, because that didn't happen. That really hasn't happened before in hockey. So that's a statement forward. But Owen and I have had this conversation before. Like, I sat there, everyone almost expects some sort of statement from everyone. And I tried a couple of times this week, but I couldn't find the eloquent words. And so I ended up just retweeting people who were more eloquent than me, you know, the Trevor Noahs of the world or the Masai Ujiri. What I'm getting to here is I hope that people just don't make statements and that's enough. It's almost like when there's a terrorist attack or a mass shooting and everybody wants to say, you know, thoughts and prayers to everyone in wherever it may be, New Zealand or Paris or whatever.
And hashtag then it's, pray it's for like whoever.
It's the obligatory tweet or Instagram message and then everybody moves on. And you're so right, guys. That's not enough now. Mm-hmm. You have to actually do what you say in your statement. You do have to educate yourself and you do have to listen and you do have to do all these things.
Yeah, it can't be just for the optics, which is the mm-hmm. kind of the rabbit hole that you
find. And I'm not saying, by the way, I'm not saying any of those hockey players are doing it for the optics.
We're not singling out hockey players or anybody, but there has been a ton of people, whoever, in all walks of life that are just trying to throw out the traditional hashtag or believe in this or that. And it's just mm-hmm. like, come on, knock it off.
Exactly.
Awesome. But you can do that. There's nothing wrong with doing that, though. Like the Blackout
Tuesday. Some people are coming up with dumb comments like they had no idea that racism existed before. And I understand even Jamie said, I'd like to, take things into consideration, maybe learn a bit more, and I'll not comment. I just want to take things in and just see where things are going. That's understandable, and that's fine. But other people
A start. Sean McKenzie, Bob's son, recommended this documentary on Netflix, which is called The 13th, about the 13th Amendment to abolish slavery. And that's just for your listeners. If you really want to get educated, there's an hour and a half to spend on something that looks at the history of systematic racism in the States. And that's a start, right? Mm-hmm. That's a start in, documentaries sometimes can be slanted one way or another, but go get a book or watch that, and at least you're making steps towards understanding.
Yeah. Great stuff, James. Appreciate you coming on. Appreciate you breaking away from your cleaning duties. And if you have...
I got a new puppy, which, by the way, I did a poll on Instagram, and the overwhelming choice, O-Dog and Noodles, were both in the top three.
Nice.
And I brought that up to my wife.
No.
She didn't even
Brooksy wasn't having it.
So what'd
she
you mean?
Had no chance. It's still up in the air. It's still out there.
I guarantee it. Just don't give it a name like Fred. Like Fred. There's Fred.
Yeah, my cat's name's Hank.
Yeah, I know. Harry. That's what I said. Like, you know, exactly. Like, they're it shouldn't be people's names. It should be a dog's.
Do you like Thor? My daughter wants to name it Thor.
Does it look like a Thor? Does it look like a Thor?
You don't like Thor?
Really bad, no. What about O-Dog? Just O-Dog.
No, it's not going to be O-Dog. I don't want to look at it and remind me of you every time. I love you, but not,
okay.
You know.
Yeah. No.
Well, Hank the cat has made a big appearance on the show this week. And if you do continue to tune into the show after you're done with us, big segment making its debut after the break. It's called Hazy B or Hazy Be Quiet.
Yeah.
and I'm guessing you know who started that one.
Yes.
I'll be tuning in.
Awesome stuff. Appreciate this, James.
See you guys.
Thanks so much. James Zethy joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The showroom is open. They're taking the necessary steps to provide a safe environment for every guest. Visit Maple Toyota next to Wonderland or buy online at mapletoyota.com. That's right. We debut the segment next. Hazy B or Hazy Be Quiet when we return. Overdrive continuing. Mark Rowe alongside Jamie McLennan and Jeff O'Neill. I talked about how it's kind of a historic day here on the show. I'm proud to be a part of it. We have a new segment. The expectations are high. The production value is even higher.
The motivation behind it. Noodles has been listening to this man for close to 10 years, if not 10 years.
This is my ninth year. Nine years with Brian Hayes.
Seven for me. Mm. So... He loves a hot take, and it's about time we dive into some of them and then have a take on his hot takes. It's called Hazy B or Hazy Be Quiet.
I am the smartest man alive!
Hazy B?
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Or Hazy Be Quiet.
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
All right, well done. That's
If they're playing the song, I'm a loser, baby.
So I know there's going to be a lot.
Yeah. Are you guys looking forward to Monday, by the way, when he comes back? Because he is going to have a long list of things.
Oh, he'll have O Dog's like a loser segment. Yeah. Or Noodles is a jerk. Or...
All right. Yeah.
All right. So this is how it's going to work. We're going to listen to a hot take from Hazy B and say, Hazy B, good point, Brian. Or Hazy, be quiet. Are we ready?
Ready to rock.
We're ready.
Let's hear one of Hazy B's takes.
So what does Ovechkin have? He's got, I think, 7 or 8 Rocket Richards. I say he wins at least 3 more.
Ooh.
Ovechkin, I'm on. That's a... Rocket Richard.
3
at
more?
At least 3 more from Hazy B.
Give me the that's a good point, Brian.
That's a good point, Brian.
Yes. Yeah, no. Give me that. I mean, this guy, all this guy does is score goals, and I don't see him slowing down. He's 34 years old, and yeah, it's not going to like the rest of this season, but he'll come back next year in January. I could see him getting 3 more because I think he's going to play at least 6 more years.
Yeah, that's the big question for me is how many more seasons does he actually really go after this Gretzky record? I think he's around for 5-6 years. I think he's got 3 more. Hazy B.
That's a good point, Brian.
Case dismissed.
Give me the moron.
You're a moron.
I just think Ovi, as dynamic as the guy is, nobody can score goals. I think he's the greatest goal scorer of all time. This layoff, I think sooner or later he's going to put on some LBs and he slows down. I'm going to go Hazy, be quiet.
Okay. They just had a second child, too, so who knows? Fatherhood
knows?
Could take him down.
Who knows? You never know. Sooner or later, the wheels fall off of this guy. He hits everything in sight. Mm-hmm. He goes 100 miles an hour every time he's on the ice. I got to go Hazy, be quiet, and I love saying Hazy, be quiet. You're a moron.
You're a moron.
Give me one more take. Give me another take here.
Yeah. People are saying Columbus might be an issue for the Maple Leafs. I don't see it. I think that playing round, the Leafs are going to roll.
Ooh, okay.
So Leafs roll over the Columbus Blue Jackets from Hazy B. Nick Foligno had comments. Everyone's saying the grit and determination of the Blue Jackets. Leafs roll from Hazy B. Thoughts?
What does roll mean? Like a sweep? Like
whatever. It's roll.
You know what?
I don't need to describe it to you, D-Roll. Come
okay.
on.
All right. Sorry.
I think
I think the Leafs win this series in 5, which is not a roll. So Hazy, be quiet.
You're a moron.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. Roll is tough because I think they will win, but I've said this.
Like, well, let's just call it make it. We're gonna describe roll as make easy work of the Columbus
Blue
Jackets.
Which I don't think
they're not gonna make easy. No, it's gonna be a real grind. So I would say Hazy, be quiet on that one.
You're
that's
a moron.
That's tough.
I'm gonna go good point, Brian.
Wow.
Really?
That's good point, Brian.
Yeah, wow. I like the Leafs. I think they're going to be fresh, young legs. And sooner or later, I know they're still young and they got a lot of time. I think Austin Matthews, Morgan Rielly, Freddie Anderson, Mitch Marner, John Tavares. I think sooner or later, one of these series, they step up and they dominate and they be what Kyle Dubas envisioned them to be. And I think it could be against the Columbus Blue Jackets. I say, good point, Brian.
Case dismissed.
Yes. Thank you, Hazy B.
I like
that
it.
One.
It's like he's here with us.
Let's hit another one.
I totally agree with Max Scherzer. Baseball players should not take any more cuts.
No more cuts from ball players. Give me the moron. Give me the moron.
You're a moron. Yeah.
I think they have to have an understanding here of what's going on in the world, and things aren't normal. There's going to be no fans in the building. It's either, okay, don't do that or don't make any money at all. I think that's a moronic comment by Hazy B, and I'm saying Hazy, be quiet all day on that one.
I agree with you on that one. Hazy, be quiet.
You're a moron.
The whole world is losing money because of the pandemic. Even, you know, we talked about how there is a difference between NBA players and NHL players and how they've had their paychecks, but those businesses are going to be affected for the next couple of years. Like, what do you think the salary cap and what HR
are? Dude, it's take a cut or take nothing or nothing.
Right.
Like, don't you want a cut of a lot of money? Like, just make something as opposed to
exactly
nothing.
Exactly. And it's just going to kill the image of the sport. Like, we keep talking about 94. How many
people turn
their back on baseball? And it took them until like Maguire and Sosa to get back into Major League Baseball.
Here's what I'll say, and here's why I'm going to agree with him and say it's a good point, Brian.
That's a good point, Brian.
Here's why. Oh, no.
They've already said they're going to take a cut. They're conceding. They're actually
They said no more after that. There was no more after that.
Okay, so if you said, I will take a cut for the greater good.
Jamie, we've learned. We sat out a year for nothing. Whatever they say goes. Yeah, that's the bottom line.
But the thing is that's exactly what I'm saying. The owners know that they're going to pit them against each other.
And it's they should, because they run the show. Whatever they say goes. They either take it or they make zero.
Yeah, but they want the pro-rated salary, which was brought up before the pandemic actually happened, and they were before they knew they were coming back with empty stadiums. So the business plan is out the window.
What I'm saying is, at some point, the players have to go, enough is enough. We've conceded. You need to concede. Let's work together.
Play a 50-game season.
Right. So I think Brian makes a good point. It's enough.
No.
And then we're going to move forward. All the owners are trying to do is go, oh, you want to shake my hand? No problem. We'll shake your hand. Oh, I need a hug, too. I need a hug. Now I need a kiss. They continue to push the line. You got to stand up at some point.
Okay.
Let's get to the next one.
I'm hearing a lot of golf chatter out there that I will easily break 120 at the National. Easily.
You're a moron.
Easily break.
Just play this stupid comment again. Play it again.
I'm hearing a lot of golf chatter out there that I will easily break 120 at the National. Easily.
I mean, have an idea.
What golf chatter? I wonder, is he...
Well, he's hearing people say that he's going to shoot 200.
But is he going to golf clubs? And he's like, what do you guys think?
I don't know. He says he's going to break 120 at the National easily. I'm going moron. Hazy, be quiet.
You're a moron!
Wow. I'm not privy to the National, but all I've done is sat back and listened to people talk about it, including my neighbor, who's a member.
That's not 200, Jamie. It's 120.
120 is very rich.
Now,
I think he's a good golfer, but a $120, when people are saying, if you're a 15 handicap, a $120 is tough. If you have an off day, we're not factoring in cameras. You're the guy that everyone's staring at, like the pressure. He's going to beat 200, a $120. I'm not believing it.
Hazy, be quiet. All the way around the world.
This match, because he's going up against himself, I guess.
Yeah, that's going to be against the course.
Yeah, I guess it's him against the course. That's going to be played in the fall, most likely, right?
Yes.
I wonder.
We don't know. They're not allowing guests right now, so we can't get it cooking.
Would the greens be a little easier in the fall? A little slower?
Dude, they're just butter at all times. They're perfect.
Like it's like putting on a pool table.
Well, they're the best greens in Canada. Nope. Put it that way. So.
Or the worst.
depending on the way you view it.
Hazy B, quiet.
You're a moron.
Any more takes from Hazy B?
I got to be honest. I've surveyed the neighborhood. I've been driving around, walking around, and I've seen what's up in terms of lawn care around the neighborhood. Mine is easily the best. May not even be that close. I'm leaning towards setting up a maintenance gig on the side.
Oh, come on. A maintenance gig on the side.
I love
it. He's got the hat and everything.
I love it. I believe
we have to go around the horn and say, Hazy, be quiet. That's enough of the garden talk.
Get your damn act together.
Thank you, Mullen. Thank you.
Yeah, that one. I don't know if he's going to have his own, gardening show or anything like that.
No, he's going to come up with his own Jiffy app.
I just don't believe it.
I don't either. It's Hazy, be quiet around the horn. Anybody says anything less, leave the show.
Nah, this opens him out. Like, he can easily pull this off. All he has to do is lawn care for his next-door neighbor, and bam, he says he has a business. So I'm going to say Hazy B.
Wow.
No way. Yeah. That's such an ass-kiss move for the guy you're substituting for.
Well, hey, if he cuts his neighbor's grass once, he can say, and his neighbor's like, here's $10. There's a business.
Well,
that's true.
I don't know. Yeah. I think he's talking mulch, paving, the whole nine.
He's all over the mulch. You know that.
Yeah, that's true.
He loves the mulch. Is that all we got, Mulls?
Yeah, I think we're
going to. Jays will make the playoffs in a 50-game season.
I'm a hazy B on that one. We talked about that maybe yesterday. Those young studs, upgraded pitching staff, I think hazy B all the way. Good point, Brian.
That's a good point, Brian.
Mm. Yep, good point, Brian. I agree. Like, it just 50-game season, like, it's all the marbles. Like, it's just shortened. You go for a sprint, young guys, big bats. I agree. That's a good point, Brian.
That's a good point, Brian.
I don't want to be a hypocrite because yesterday I said 40%. I think that they make it very interesting, but they will fall short regardless. So that's a hazy be quiet.
You're a moron.
Ooh. Well, boys, that is the first edition of Hazy B.
I like
Hazy
it.
Be Quiet. We just pick clips of hot takes from Brian Hayes. We pick them apart. We dissect them. The lawn one was tough. Can I hear the lawn one before we go to break? Like, I gotta
be honest. I've surveyed the neighborhood. I've been driving around, walking around, and I've seen what's up in terms of lawn care around the neighborhood. Mine is easily the best. May not even be that close. I'm leaning towards setting up a maintenance gig on the side.
I mean, have an idea.
Oh. I love
Take
it.
Take it to break, D-Roll.
Will this segment be played when he returns next week?
Absolutely. We are playing it.
I love it.
Fantastic.
Okay, there you have it. The first edition, a historic day on the show. Hazy B Quiet. Still to come, Andre Roberts from the Buffalo Bills and Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider, at 6:25. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050, TSN 4, and the TSN app. Overdrive continuing, Mark Rowan for Brian Hayes, alongside Jamie McLennan and Jeff O'Neill. In the 6 o'clock hour, we have Andre Roberts from the Bills, Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider, at 6:25. The big news today has been that the NBA has come out with their plan. They've come out with dates. They've come out with a 22-team format. The NHL, they will reseed for the playoffs. We will. We are still waiting on the hub cities. We're still waiting on some dates. But you guys have both brought this up, and I like it because it's from a player's perspective. Families joining players in these hub cities or in Orlando for the NBA's case. And it was interesting hearing from Josh Lundberg that Fred VanVleet wants to be there alone, doesn't want his family in a scenario where they could be at risk.
Mark, that's an honest answer. To be a professional athlete, everyone will tell you when you have a family, it's an incredibly selfish lifestyle. Mm-hmm. You have to go home. You have to eat at a certain time. You have to be left alone and sleep in a separate bed and get a nap. And don't be bothered. Don't let the kids come in. And then you go to the game. And then you come home at 11. And then you can't be bothered with anything else because you got to get up and travel the next day or whatever. It's selfish, but the payoff is worth it. So it all depends on where the player's mind is at. Do I want to have kids around? Do I want to be able to sleep? Do I want to be dealing with real-life stuff that happens in life, whether it be diapers or food or whatever, or am I just going to go away and focus on this for a certain amount of time? It all depends on the family's decision, and it's a group decision. It's a family decision, but it's an incredibly selfish lifestyle as far as your needs and what you have to do to prep every day. So it depends on what that particular athlete wants.
Well, you're right. And to add in another layer to that, there's the risk of potential coronavirus.
That's right.
Like,
so
you want
your family to stay put. Just stay put.
That's where I think he's coming from, too. Or he can maybe
go at
it with an angle. It's like, why would I want to bring my family, if they quarantine, if they're at home in our safe space, why would I want to put them, if I've got young kids, or put my wife in a scenario where, you know, we just don't trust 100% of what's going on? You know, like, I'm not 100% sure that even if, you know, it's all thumbs up, but unless there's no a vaccine or treatment, like, my kids going back to school in September? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, as of today, I would say no. Now, I'm hoping, you know, we're going to know a lot more 2 months from now, 3 months from now. So we have the luxury of time in that scenario. But if you ask me today, are your kids going September 1st or whatever? I would say no, because I don't know what's going on. So I think the lack of information, the lack of, you know, certainty, I wouldn't want to put my family in that scenario. I still believe it's going to be a safe environment. The NBA is going to spend a lot of money. The National Hockey League is going to spend a lot of money to make sure that people are tested and that the area is sterile. But
and it'd be tricky, too, because you're talking about hotels.
Right.
Orlando, it's very much a campus-like feel. So you're not renting out a house.
Yeah. You know,
if you're a family with two or three kids, and for a lot of veterans, that is their reality. You know, even if you get like a nice suite at the Marriott, that's still not, you know, normal living for that family.
It's pretty confined space considering, and, you know, these guys are high net worth people. So they would have, I'm pretty sure, good size houses, good size
And as O points out, it's tough to be like, okay, go in the other room so I can take my nap for the game.
Exactly. I agree. It is a selfish lifestyle, but everyone, it is a full commitment from your whole family. Yeah. And that's a challenge for them right now.
Well, it's been nice that it seems like every day we're getting a little bit more information regarding the NBA. Like we're hoping MLB comes out with something soon. It, like everything I'm reading, whether it's Jeff Passan or Buster Olney, eventually these two sides will figure it out, and we'll see like the greater good of the game. Right. Hoping on that, and next week is golf, and also the NFL is raring to go, and coming up, Andre Roberts, part of a team where they're raring to go. The Buffalo Bills, is this their time to finally win that division with Tom Brady out of it? We'll have much more with him when we return on Overdrive on TSN 4, TSN 1050, and on the TSN app.